This is wisdom calling. Wisdom calls us within the ordinary to pay attention to what is living and breathing right inside of us. The rule of Benedict begins with these words. Listen carefully, my children, to the Master's instructions, and attend to them with the ear of your heart. Joan Chichester teaches that Benedictine spirituality forms us to listen always for the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God, therefore, is the reason for listening with the ear of the heart, and it is a difficult thing to do in the world in which we live. There is noise nearly everywhere, all around us, from blaring televisions in the waiting rooms of hospitals, trying to distract us from why we're there, in doctor's offices and airports, and just about every other place we spend time in. Hearing God's voice is made very difficult by all the devices we have and we plug into, our cell phones that ring and email and text and tweet. The good news is that there is an answer to this condition called modern life, and it's called silence. To listen with the ear of the heart, we need silence of the heart. Mother Teresa said, silence of the heart is necessary so you can hear God everywhere. In the closing of the door, in the person who needs you, in the birds that sing, the flowers, in the animals. We live in the most ordinary of times, or at least we think we do. Life moves along at a usual pace. We follow a calendar of events, and for the most part, we like it that way. Life has a predictable flow, and we're comfortable with the flow. Or at least we'd like to think that's how life is. Then sometimes things happen that have a potential to break us up. This can be the difficulties we might be having in relationships with people we love. This can be illness or tragedy. But this isn't the extraordinary I'm talking about this morning. I'm trying to talk this morning about the ordinary, about believing that wisdom calls us in the ordinary. As many, many say, we should be open to the gifts that come to us in the ordinary. We will always have troubles and difficulties. Things will always be about us to be dealt with. But we also live in the ordinary. When Christians said, could we build a labyrinth? Yes, we can build a labyrinth. I've built one only once before. I had borrowed one that was canvas, and people were tripping on it. And I thought, this isn't helpful. How can you? We're tripped up enough as it is, right? Without having to say we're praying the labyrinth and we're tripping. So I found someone who knew how to make one. And the way she made it, she came to my church, the church I served in Illinois, and she helped us build a grass labyrinth. So, and we don't have enough grass here to do it, but we do have a big floor. We certainly could build one on the floor. And so she had a yardstick and spray paint. And so she just had, and rope. And she knew how to build a version of the Chart Labyrinth. And then she spray painted, or we followed along and spray painted so we had the general shape. Then we got a lawnmower and we mowed the labyrinth. And I will say, I used to joke that my treasurer, Carl, probably prayed more than anyone else because he mowed the labyrinth every week. Praying a labyrinth is a very interesting thing. You do get at you when you get started, you kind of get busy, you're walking, you know, quickly, you're saying, oh yeah, and what am I doing here and why am I walking on this? Then you get to the center and you're hoping nobody is looking because this is where you want to get down on your knees and pray. And then you get to a point where who cares if you're looking? I have watched friends of mine stay in the center praying for a long time. One would think they're good Catholic girls, but no, they were UCCs, not used to getting down on their knees. One year there was going to be a full moon, and we decided we'd walk the labyrinth in the full moon. But best laid plans, you know, there was a cloudy full moon, so it was very hard to see. And I think that that's a really good model for praying. Sometimes it's hard to see where we're walking. It's hard to see when it's time to give God all of the things that bother us. Walking a labyrinth is not for the big experience. It's for the little experience. It's the normal, everyday, ordinary kind of experience. And like I said, there are finger labyrinths where you just can keep one at your desk when you need to slow down and pray. This morning we read from Proverbs. Here, wisdom explains that she was with God when God created the universe. She was with God when God created the universe. Very radical stuff. She was with God. Wisdom watched and wisdom helped. In verse 24, we hear that when there were no depths, I was brought forth. The Hebrew verb for brought forth is also translated as whirl or dance or writhe. In verse 30, wisdom says of her time with God at creation, I was beside God like a master worker. In other words, wisdom is saying, you can trust me. After all, I've been with God from the beginning. My references are impeccable. Listen as I speak. Douglas Donnelly says this passage in Proverbs shows us that wisdom is more than a non-descriptive sustainer. She is the advocate. Donnelly says she becomes the advocate in the Gospel of John. Wisdom is the Holy Spirit personified. I've always thought that this was who Jesus bequeathed his mother to. You remember that passage as he's dying on the cross? He bequeaths his mother to the advocate, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the other woman with her, who would hold her up and be with her for the ordeal that was to follow. Although in the church, we don't recognize that we've been given the Holy Spirit until Pentecost, which was, of course, last Sunday. As we prepared for worship, Susan said, so what color? White, green? I said, well, I know the party's over, but let's keep the red. Let's keep Pentecost in our hearts and minds as we talk about wisdom calling us. The thought of listening for God and experiencing the Holy Spirit is not really what we all think about as we walk around in our lives in ordinary time. For example, I think about getting the sermon finished and the laundry done. And then there are other things to do. There's the book to read. There's people to visit. And then this quickly morphs to what programs might I develop that would be fun for our church, viable, maybe so the world could see who we are, understand the concept of church. that we all know is beginning to fade. I am just one great example of how listening for God goes awry. I think I'm listening to me. I'm not listening for God. Listening isn't our way of managing our lives. Some like to talk, always interrupting, climbing over the thoughts and feelings of others, afraid they won't be heard or get their point across. Some sit quiet and pray. They pray for the moment to be over rather than digging and diving. They're being willing to find what it might be that wisdom is calling. As I've talked to you before, I have studied Benedictine theology. I belong to Holy Wisdom Monastery in Madison, Wisconsin. When you become an oblate, you study the rule of Benedict, and Benedict wrote the rule before Christianity was considered a religion, although he was a Christian. And I thought, I need to learn how to listen better. The whole concept of being part of this monastery was to learn to listen. I think learning more about listening made me a better pastor. How to listen, how not to try to fix you or fix me. Of course, that never works anyway. That's why it's lovely, lovely to say when the emotions are swirling, troubles are coming from all different ways, all different places, to be reminded to just sit and listen for the holy. We are not static beings. We aren't rocks who change only after millennia of being worn away or worn down. We are quite the opposite. We are growing, evolving beings, full of possibilities. Full of possibilities. The irony is that we have to listen to find new ways. Most of us, as a result of our past experiences, think that we are absolutely right in what we believe. There's no wiggle room. My father used to say, it's my way or the highway. I've never been wrong. Only in his dreams, I know, but we didn't figure that out until much later. We can get snarky and crabby with others who don't think like us. But who are we kidding? Everyone is so unique, so different, so amazing. There is something in each one of us that allows us to listen for the holy, to help us hear new and different things from each other and from God. This listening makes us more than we were. It doesn't take away our sure place of knowing what we need to know about ourselves and the world. In fact, it does the very opposite. It doesn't make us more tall, it makes us wider in our understanding of wisdom. Going deeper for some of us feels scary. We're not sure what we will find there once we get in there and discover that the bad guy is us. But there is a way out of that. That is only the beginning. Some call that the ring of fire. That's the barrier that we push through. Listening for the holy, the beautiful one, the holy. That gets us to new places. We push through the difficulties. We find discovery, growth, and sometimes even peace, maybe just in that gentle moment is there peace. Certainly it's not world peace. But if I can learn to be more peaceful with the people I am around all the time, maybe that is the difference I can make today. And that was a gift. Sometimes many people say the Holy Spirit never comes when you call her. Come on, Holy Spirit, I need some help right now. She comes when you don't expect her. She comes possibly when it's inconvenient. Jesus says, what? Peace I leave with you. I give to you. I don't give it as the world gives it. Then he zooms to, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Peace. Sometimes the only peace we find is sitting in this place, in the quiet, in the gentleness. Peace. I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Walking the labyrinth can help understand what it means to not be afraid. I know it sounds silly, maybe even artificial. And it seems like it takes an awful long time walking the labyrinth to get to the middle. And then it just doesn't seem quite as long walking out. You can hear birds all of a sudden singing. You can blot out the traffic noise, and you can hear people with you breathing. There are many ways the Holy comes to us, and it's often in ordinary time. It's not usually when things are great big and huge decisions need to be made. No, the Holy just comes to support us, to tell us God is still speaking. We're not alone. All matter of thing shall be well. I was walking a labyrinth once and I heard a rustle, a very tiny, tiny rustle. I would never have noticed it otherwise if I wasn't concentrating on listening. It's a hard thing. Listening's not my natural way. Talking's my natural way. As a kid, I used to think I talked so much so somebody could say, no, no, that's not right. I could test out my thinking and get some feedback. So listening for the quiet would make me nervous. And then listening for the Holy, listening to the tiny rustle. It must have been a tiny bird I didn't see, rustling around, and then all of a sudden I heard teeny tiny little flapping, tiny tiny sounds. If I hadn't been listening, I would never heard it. It made me feel warm, like even me, who likes to talk, could learn to listen. And when I listened, I'd be given something not that would help my checkbook or help me clean my house or fold my laundry. It would just help me center, help me listen for the Holy and recognize the Holy is everywhere for us. Sometimes we go for one thing and we find another. Sometimes we're looking for answers in our prayers and what we get is gentleness or a tiny rustle. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give to you. I give to you not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. and do not be afraid. This is the beauty that comes to us in listening for God. We think we know what we are about, and by listening for the tiniest, tiniest gifts, we are made new because God has given us something ordinary and something new. Amen and amen.